Podcast, where we're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting across from me is Rabbi Kurt Landry. And in this episode, we're talking about how to develop habits and patterns that bring positive results. But before we get going, Rabbi, how's it going?
Listen, I'm excited. This is probably one of my favorite subjects to teach and to mentor, because I think people make the whole self-improvement realm of their life, they make it really too complicated. So listen, if you'll just do one small habit and pattern like a week that you'll change, at the end of the year, you're going to have probably a 20 to 30% increase in your life. And that's been proven. But what happens is I think people take too big of a bite and try to, when you make too much change too fast, then you fail. And then you think, okay, I can't do it. And then the shame, the guilt, whatever, defeat, doubt, and unbelief. So we want to stay out of that. So I want to talk to you kind of about how to basically crawl, walk, run into developing habits and patterns that will bring you spiritual results.
So let's go ahead and get it out of the way. What's the toughest habit and pattern to break?
How you think about yourself. Because what happens is, now this is over 30 years of experience in the spiritual entrepreneurial realm. I'll just speak about me, not anybody else. Every time Christy and I have missed it with the Lord, we're believing and thinking, and our subconscious is programmed too small.
So how do you change that, let's say, very incrementally?
Okay. So let me just give you an example of that. When we first moved into Northeast Oklahoma and we started having meetings, I can remember praying about a strip center, okay, in Grove, all right? And we took teams there and we went in the parking lot and we prayed, and it was like 2,500 square feet. Oh, Lord, if it just be your will, give us this building, you know. This is years ago, okay? And so in other situations, even in personal residence, Lord, we pray for this. Lord, we're believing for that. And in every single situation, Daryl, the reason it never came to pass is, like, you're looking at House of David, 26,000 square feet, 55 acres. So we kind of missed it from the strip center of 2,500. But even in our homes and everything has been believing too small. So what happens is you have to be able to spend quiet time with the Lord and open yourself up for visions and dreams. Make yourself available to prophets that will speak into your life. Like, I'll give you an example, like Tom and Jane Hammond. We, before they came to House of David, we were with them in Pittsburgh at a church, at a big prophecy conference. We were speaking, we never have met. And they called us up and they said, listen, and we still have the recording of it. They prophesied over Christy and I, and this was like 10 years ago. And what they prophesied, we're actually doing today, but we weren't doing there. So kind of to sum it up, you need to ask the Lord, give me vision, give me dream, and let me get prophetic confirmation and also confirmations in the Word of God that will start to kind of say, retrain your thinking to think how the Lord wants you to do things exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. And I'm going to talk about some of those basic principles today.
So it sounds like some of the practical experience for at least you is that you were thinking, praying too small?
Yes.
And so, like, when you figured out that you were doing that, maybe because, I'm going to guess, God answered the prayer, but it looked a lot different and it was a lot bigger. At some point, you know, it's got to be, because I know for me, when I've prayed for certain things and when they eventually happen, they're usually bigger. They're way different. The goal was met, but I mean, it was completely different.
Right. Well, like, I can tell you for sure, I'll just go ahead and throw this out. in the podcast, and I know you well enough. Like, what you and Morgan are believing for is way too small. Okay, I just tell you, because prophetically, I see some things that are coming in your direction, and I see prophetically some things that are coming into the ministry that are going to change everything that we do. Okay, now I'm not at liberty. I'm not trying to bait and switch you here, but but I'm just sharing with you that the Lord will reveal it to you, but the Lord has way more for you than you're thinking right now. Part of it is protection, but what I want to talk to you guys about today with habits and patterns is you really have to start spending more quiet time with the Lord and ask the Lord to start downloading to you what's coming so that you can start subconsciously and consciously thinking about it and dreaming about it. Your mind is just a computer. So whatever it meditates on, see, once you put information into your head, then what happens is it's going to try to figure out how to do it. So if you're figuring out, there's a tire swing, so to say, in the backyard here. If you're just meditating on the tire swing and the Lord really actually has an amusement park for you, like the size of Disneyland, it's the same thing. You're on a ride, you're enjoying yourself with, but your mind is totally focused on a tire swing versus, let's say, like a 2,500 square foot, a 2,500 acre amusement park, you know, that would be like you would see in Anaheim in Disneyland or something, or Orlando. So both of those are rides, but the thoughts, if your brain is locked in on the tire swing, you can't even imagine, like I say, owning an amusement park of that size. So what happens is you have to really ask the Lord to say, you know, listen, Lord, I'm seeking you. What is it that you want me to start believing for? And in the process of believing for it, then your mind will start putting together the pieces to accomplish it. Whatever you put in there, your mind's going to start. It's created by God, and that's what I want to talk to you about, the steps. It's created by God to solve and put into action what you're meditating on.
Yeah, I guess that's what's, you know, at least really cool for me hosting this podcast is that I get to learn a bunch. You did bait and switch me. So like now, you know, it's hard for me to focus because now I'm thinking about what you're saying, which goes back to, you know, just having your thoughts clear and kind of where your direction is going to be. I think human nature, we just think too small, you know? Yeah.
Okay, so let's do this podcast this way. Okay, I brought up the subject, and let me counsel you, and you can join us, and I'll share with you how to unpack that mindset. Because you know me, anyone that knows me at all in person knows I am a visionary. I'm an extreme visionary, and it doesn't shut off. And what happens is and you're part of it. The staff is like, oh my gosh, he's vision. You know, I'm years ahead of everyone down the road in the visionary part. But the thing is, I've trained my mind to know how to spiritually vision, to create visions from God, because we're in a season right now. We're in a season. I'll just tell you that the next 24 months, the next 2 years, God is bringing, and this is a thus saith the Lord. God is bringing the spiritual architects, which would be somebody kind of like me, where I have a vision and a plan. He's bringing the architects and the builders together. So the builders are the ones that actually say, this is a great vision. Now, like, how do we do it? Like, we're building a new studio. And I don't want to go any more than that, but we're working on a project. So but this will be the second studio that we built. So it's a lot easier than the first one. The first one was like, you know, how do we do this? Now the second one is like, it's a little easier, but also it's going to be way better than the first one because we've learned more of what we need and how to do it. So that's kind of how visions work. So what's happened is in this season, the architects and the builders are coming together, and it's kind of like Jesus saying, it's time to send them out two by two. But he's taking people who are above average, Because, you know, you have half of the population is below average. You have a lot in the middle, but then you have probably 30% that are above average. But the above average people are the remnant. And inside that 30% of the above average, there are, and those are the ones who aren't selfish and want to make an impact and change the world. The architects and the builders are going out two by two first. That's where we are, because the Lord is resetting and restructuring things for his kingdom return. So, I mean, I can tell you that with 100% certainty, prophetically, what I'm saying, I already know it's happening. So that's kind of where we're at. But I would like to walk you through these steps, because what happens is, as a younger person, if you'll follow these simple patterns and steps, then what happens is you'll start to see the visions for your life. And that's why this scripture says, my people perish for lack of vision, not knowledge. Knowledge is pretty easily obtainable. You just read things and listen to things. But spiritual vision comes from actually entering into a fourth dimension of rest and allowing the Lord to remove the veil of confusion so that you can see what he's called you to do.
So this question might be a really good transition point into what those steps are. And so if it lines up with what you're about to share, don't answer it yet. For me, and selfishly, I'm just going to ask this question because I'm curious, right? So when you say, found that alone time, right, so you can hear from the Lord, to me, that's like two different things, really kind of three. I mean, like listening to worship music, worshiping, right, like puts you in the presence. So I'm not really talking about that one. But I'm talking about reading scripture. So like an area of maybe struggle, but like I go back and forth. You've got prayer and you got reading, right? So like you're meditating on the word, you're reading, but then you're praying also kind of in that same breath maybe, or like a 1-2-3 punch type of thing. And so how do you take those two or three things that like you would do being alone with the Lord and open up the visions, right? Because for me, it's like I have to read paragraphs two or three times over. I'm not like Morgan. Morgan can read one thing, you tell her one thing once and she's got it and she's an expert. I've got to read it like three or four times just to like comprehend what I'm reading. And so I read really, really slow. And so how would I go about trying to vision bigger and get beyond what I'm currently in and like how to receive those visions?
Okay, so you add one more habit to those two. Read, pray. I'm like you. I have to read something 3 to 4 or 5 times. Like when I read a scripture, I'm getting so much revelation as I'm reading a scripture that I'm 5 or 6 times into it. So it's just the way you're programmed. And then other people can be like Morgan and just read it once and downloads it. So, but here's the key. Pray, read, and the third step is quite simple. Listen to the silence. Listen to the silence. You've read, you prayed, and now you say, Father God, I'm going to sit still. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to start deep breathing, take some deep breaths, and I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to listen to the silence. And I thank you, Lord, in advance for speaking to me. And then you're still, and you quiet, and you wait until he starts to speak, and visions will come. It comes in that third step, but you have to do it intentionally. So I do that intentionally probably almost every day.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's a good starting point? Like 5, 5, and 5, or 10, 10, and 10?
Whatever you're comfortable with. Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't. None of these things take like a whole lot of time.
So did that question get in the way of the steps?
No.
No. Okay, let's jump in them then.
Okay. So, okay, first of all, with habits, you need to, like, this is one of the reasons I do the goals to grow. You have to determine, first of all, what your goals are, and then you identify what habits you have that are either building you up or tearing you down. Because every habit you have is either building you up to accomplish your goal, or it's hindering or tearing you down. So what happens is you have to identify the good habits and try to correct or change the bad habits. Okay, that's number one. If you're going to be productive, and I bring this from coming from my corporate background as somebody who was trained in behavioral sciences, and practical business for 50 years. So this is where I'm coming from. Okay. And listen, I respect a lot of different people that are in this field. I love people who want to bring improvement. But the key to long success with people is to understand you got to have a long play, and you make small changes slowly. I'm going to say it again. Small changes slowly. Because what happens is you need to succeed. Once you know that you can change behavior in your own self, once you know you can do it and you trust in it, then you have confidence in your own soul that your soul will submit to what you choose it to do and will submit to the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? But you have to have some success. If you make too big a changes, you'll fail, and then you'll condemn yourself and you say, I can't do this.
You know, like we talk a lot about biblical finance. That makes a lot of sense when it comes to budgeting and just money in general, is that the really quick decisions I've made about big, like large sums of money, you know, like the house I'm trying to sell and like different steps. I think there were good steps. I don't think I took long enough to really analyze it. And so then you're just kind of, you know, I think on the back end, like the Lord's teaching me a ton.
He is. And yeah, he'll redeem all just... that. But listen, you have to not be afraid to ask the people who are around you about things either. So I'll say this about large purchases. If you're married, never make a decision on a large purchase unless both of you agree. You got to, and the enthusiasm level, you know, you can't be like all over it. Hey, we're getting this motorcycle. And then she's like, okay, well, I agree to get the motorcycle, but she's at a 10 and you're at like 110 on the enthusiasm. So to have a successful marriage with large ticket items like automobiles, homes, boats, there needs to be both, not just in agreement, but at the same level of enthusiasm. But here's the key is that sometimes you have to take, I can think of two real estate deals, and you're sitting in one of them right now, to where I had to intervene with the people. And I said, no, we're doing this right now. And the reason is like 2 hours later, somebody else offered more money for it. And the same thing with another property. So sometimes you just have to be like ready and in the Lord and be at one with your spouse and say, are you feeling this like I am? I'm no red flags. You got to pull the trigger. So I'm just saying that the best thing to do is to pray, believe, and ask the Lord, and then the Lord will give you vision for where you're going forward. So I want to bring this up to you. The biggest hindrance to hearing the Lord's voice, this is what I wrote. This is my note. The more tasks you can handle without thinking about it, the more your brain is free to focus on the spiritual thing.
Wait, so I guess break that down for what you would do. Say you woke up this morning, you know, you were preparing probably a little bit for this podcast, and not all podcasts do we do a lot of prep. It's kind of my favorite thing because I get a really organic rabbi in it. But just walk me through that statement, that process. You woke up today, apply it now.
Okay, so this is the thought that created this is stress creates frustration and a traffic jam in your mind. Stress. So what happens is, like, for me, I can't let a lot of different situations and people into my life because what happens is I only have so much bandwidth. So if what they're telling me is stressing me out, and you know, I'm CEO of multiple different things. So I've got to keep my mind on the bigger picture and keeping everything in on the path that it's supposed to be going. But as you know, I think we're at 45 employees now. With that many different people and moving parts, what happens is that's why you need the managers and the administrators and the leaders to lead, because I can't deal with all of the situations. If I did, I wouldn't be able to lead. So when you're leading, and a leader is not somebody that has a position. A leader is a personality trait. If you're going to lead people, then you have to have an uncluttered mind so that you are open and clear to the Holy Spirit to create action and visions that actually bring deliverables. So the key to it is you can't have a cluttered mind.
Okay, so now you have it decluttered. Where do you go from there?
Well, when it's decluttered, my third thing is knowledge compounds. Okay, so anything you put into this is like the Spirit renewing your mind by the washing of the Word. Spiritual knowledge, all knowledge, it compounds, it multiplies. It has, the more knowledge you have, it's like a funnel. The more information you have, the broader you are able to operate with things that come near the top of your funnel. Warren Buffett says this, is that how knowledge works is it builds like compound interest in a bank account. So then I'll say what Rabbi says, is not only does knowledge compound, but also foolishness compounds. Because anything you think of negatively, anything you think of negative will compound as well. So what happens is you have to be, let me just say this. If someone came to me and said, okay, you got to give us three things. This is the last three things that you give for success, or for me, success is operating at peace with what you're created to do successfully. But you have to be at peace. If you're not enjoying the journey, then no one wants to go with somebody that's not enjoying the journey. So here's the key. The first thing is your words have power. Because where do your words come from? Out of your heart and out of your mind. So what happens is anything you say is going to produce. It's either going to produce positive knowledge compounding or negative knowledge compounding. So you're either going to feed fear or faith. Okay. Second is your thoughts. You have to be able to discipline your mind to meditate on that which is good and pure and holy and of good report, that the God of peace might guard your heart. So that would be kingdom thoughts, because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So if you're going to meditate on the kingdom, seek first the kingdom, then you have a choice. You have a free will choice to say good things and think good things. And if you say good things and you think good things, then the third thing is you need to understand wherever your presence goes is going to make a difference. So obedience, wherever you walk. So if you'll say what God tells you to say, think what God tells you to think, and go where God tells you to go, you're going to have a beautiful, prosperous life. Those would be the three things.
So like those three things really start with the first three or four things that we're talking about. A little bit of worship, a little bit of scripture reading, some prayer, and then the quiet time.
Listen to the silence.
Yeah, you know, like you've had a good bit of teaching, at least in my time with the ministry, on habits and patterns, but I think you're spinning it in a little bit different way. Maybe it's because I'm doing this podcast with you, so it feels a little bit more relational to me in the way that you're walking me through it. You know, because like people, pastors, preachers, I mean, biblical scholars, right, from higher ed, I don't think they really dive into the meditation, visionary aspect of doing like the, you know, like the three things. You know, I mean, like I came from a culture that was, they spend 5, 5, and 5. And then the other 5 would be spend 5 minutes thinking about heaven each day. You know, because like then that opens up a different reality versus the perception of what you're living in, not the physical, but more so the mental, what's in your head perception of like what's reality. Because I think Christians, especially through, you know, like you said, a point about one, if you get knowledge, you receive more knowledge, right? And so it's like compound interest, but also with more knowledge, sometimes can come the other stuff if you're not mentally in the right spot.
Right.
So doing all those, it's a great list. Do you have any more on the list? I mean, because like you're going to do more content on this, and so I don't want you to give all the nuggets.
I'm actually considering writing a book on this, in my next book, because I need to do. Everyone's asking me to do another book, and so what? Listen, I'm going to start doing some leadership training at a masterclass level and at an institute level in the next few years, and so my mind is going on. This is quite simple as this. I watch Christians being able to operate in spiritual truth, signs, wonders, and miracles, but I see them struggling on how to take spiritual truths into deliverables in the marketplace. And
it's pretty hard to do.
Well, the Lord has shown me how to do it, and I've done it for a lot of years. I mean, I did it for 8 years in the fruit business, which is a very corrupt, produce business is very corrupt. And I was able to take those principles and succeed even when I was in competition with organized crime people. So, I mean, so I'm just saying, I know I learned what I've been taught the hard way, but the key is you don't have time to learn it the way I learned it. So I really feel like it's time for me to bring the impartation of it, to be able to take practical habits and patterns. Okay. So let me give you an example. We're probably getting pretty close on time. So let me close with this.
Okay.
Okay. Listen to this guy. This is how biblical this is. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay? And so I really kind of feel prophetically we're kind of at a place where practical practicing of religious ways is dead. That died really at COVID. If you look about the way we have organized religion and services and everything has changed since COVID. So it's kind of like, okay, Moses is dead. And then he goes on to say, he says to him, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land I am giving you up to the children of Israel. Every place your foot will tread, I will give to you. And then he goes on to say, as I was with Moses, so I am with you. So he's saying, okay, you saw all these 40 years of miracles, signs, and wonders. You saw how Moses, that supernatural power is with you, but you are not ready for it. So what does he say to him? He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. Then it will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. So now here's this meditate. But what's happened is for most Christians, they have taken the word meditation out like to be like yoga or to be some kind of new age thing. That's not what he's saying here. What he is saying here is I want you to read, I want you to pray, And then listen to the silence. That's the meditation part. That's what we're talking about. So what happens is, okay, I read the word, I prayed the word, and now I'm going to sit still. How do I apply it into my practical life? I'm Joshua. I've got all these people. Moses is dead. Listen, we applied everything Moses did in the wilderness. And then we had manna, pillar of fire, and, you know, strike the rock, water coming out. But now I'm in a new situation. We're actually going into a promised land, and there's physical people and enemies on it, and we have to drive them out in order to possess the land. Totally different assignment. And he says, fine, as I was with Moses, I'm going to take the same spiritual principles that Moses had, but now you're going to apply it onto taking the promised land. And so that's kind of where your generation is at. Your generation is you're going to have to learn how to meditate on the word of God to build up your faith so that you become these heroes of the faith. And you know, faith is the things hoped for, but things not seen. And where the seeing of what needs to come forward comes is in that quiet time in the visions.
That's so good. Can you end by praying for those watching on YouTube, Facebook, listening, Spotify or Apple? I don't really know how to word this, like a prayer for meditation for people to figure it out, because yeah, that's one thing I've really picked up from this is what does that actually feel like? And I think the proper progression as you spend that time alone with the Lord.
Okay. Well, Lord, I just thank you that in Yeshua's name for all of my friends that are following this podcast, that, Lord, you would give them, first of all, three steps. One, a hunger to read your word. And, Lord, a hunger to read a devotional. And that, Lord, empower them in their prayer life that it's a conversation with their Father. It's not some religious reciting, but it's actually speaking, asking, listening to the Father. And Lord, as we come into the third step of meditation where we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, Lord, let us come together at peace. And Lord, I ask that you release the nine gifts of the Spirit in that silent time where words of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, prophetic words and visions and dreams would come. And I release it to you. I sort of say, you don't need permission, but I give you permission to enter into that fourth dimension, into the treasures of God's heart, to see what God has for you in Yeshua's name.
It's been a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
It's been real good. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, so anytime we go live or a video is posted, you get that notification to your phone. If you're watching on Facebook, just follow us there. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, make sure to follow the podcast so you get those notifications. And as well, it'd be awesome if you leave us a review, 5 stars, hopefully. And if you have any questions or you want to submit any topics for us, you send that over to podcast@kurtlandry.com. That's going to do it for this one. We'll see you next time.